This program is not being used to make diagnosis, administer treatment, prescribe medication, or order tests. The information contained in this program is provided as an educational service. This program is not a replacement for the relationship you have with your healthcare provider. If you have concerns about your health, please contact your healthcare provider immediately.
Welcome to Your Health Connection. I am Dr. Ronald A. Johnson, president of Clark Atlanta University. This program was made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University, by WCLK 91.9 FM, and by Clark Atlanta University itself. Your Health Connection focuses on today's healthcare information to help you improve your quality of life.
You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK. Hello to you. I'm Paula Gwynn Grant, and on today's program, we're discussing caregiving. It's National Caregivers Month, and with us today to discuss this topic is including a wonderful lady from AARP Georgia, because we need them in on a discussion about caregiving. Hillary Thomas joins us. Glad to have you, Hillary. Also joining us today, registered nurse Michelle Johnson Bolden. She's president of Home Helpers and Direct Link North Atlanta. Hello, Michelle.
Good evening.
Glad you're here. You can join the conversation with your questions. Are you a caregiver? Are you caring for someone right now who is working their way through cancer treatment? This is your conversation. We're going to pick up tips on how we can be better caregivers, what it looks like when you're working your way through caring for someone who has cancer and you just want to be there to support and help. Call us with your questions, or if you are a caregiver, give us a call with your concerns or whatever you would like to share to help us all be better caregivers at 404-880-9255. We are also on Twitter at CCRTD, 404-880-9255. National Caregivers Month. Michelle, as a registered nurse, this is a big month, and I'm glad that there is a month on the calendar nationwide that allows us to pause and say, you know, this is important. We talk often about patients, and in our case, cancer patients who are working their way through treatment. Michelle, what are some of the things we need to know around being a caregiver for someone who is receiving cancer treatment?
Okay. Some of the things that, you know, we often see with those who have are being treated for cancer is one of the common things regarding is chemotherapy. So often with chemotherapy, you're seeing that they need some extra care, some extra attention because of their tolerance. So sometimes, even with the treatment, there's a kind of a trial and error. We're determining what the chemotherapy agent should be, what the dosage should be. So they're kind of up and down in how they feel, how they're responding to eating. So that's one of the biggest challenges we see with nausea and vomiting is for people who have who are being treated with for cancer. So getting them to eat, and of course they need their food in order to maintain energy to move forward, but also they also have to be well hydrated. So that's one of the challenges that we have to be very patient with our cancer treatment, cancer patients, in order to allow for them to feed or eat when on their terms. So instead of maybe a large meal or certain senses will also set them off.
Really, because our senses change when we're undergoing cancer treatment,
right,
whether that's chemotherapy or radiation. Is it true that our senses become a bit more sensitive?
Yes. I mean, it's kind of like they're on 10, really.
Really?
You know, so they're elevated. So certain things they may be able to have stood before, certain scents of foods, things of that sort, they may no longer be able to tolerate.
Okay.
So, and then if you're not able to stand a sense of a food, then of course you don't want to eat it. So we kind of have to really watch what we're cooking, when we're cooking it, when they're in the home. When we want to encourage them to eat, it's always very small, frequent meals, not to try to eat a full meal at once. And just really pushing the fluids, because even if they're having problems with vomiting and things of that sort, just small, frequent fluids would help. Fluids will help them to at least stay hydrated, and then kind of move gradually into things that are less bland, that are more so bland, in order for them to take it
as they can tolerate it.
As they can tolerate it and move forward.
So as caregivers, we really need to listen.
We really need to listen and also kind of watch what they're doing as well. We really have to watch them, because sometimes people aren't able to express how they feel. Or they don't want to be a bother. You know, yes. I know that you prepared this meal for me. I hate to say no, but it's really making me sick. Mm-hmm. So you really want to pay attention to them and how they respond to things as well.
Michelle, as a registered nurse, when do we know or when should we as caregivers push? You know, if the person is having trouble telling us, you know, how do you know when is the right time to say, no, I need to insist that you take a sip of water. Mm-hmm. We have to get this mm-hmm. in. You know, as caregivers, we don't always know when is the appropriate time. How do you know?
It's almost a safety issue. You always want to put safety first sometimes instead of what they really want. But they're also adults often. So you have to be mm-hmm. able to respond to them in a respectful manner, kind of negotiate. Can you drink just maybe a half a glass of water right now? And I'll come back in a little while and maybe we'll try a little bit more, or try to give them options. Maybe you drink a little bit now and then maybe we'll try in a couple of hours to do a little bit later. Mm-hmm. What's your options? Do you want the juice or would you like the water? Okay. They want to be involved in their care. Even though we're pushing them, we want to make them feel like adults and not children. And that's often the yes. battle, is that when you're taking care of a spouse and a parent, mm-hmm. You know, I am your mother. I am your right. father. So right. you have to respect me in that manner. Mm-hmm. So we do want to be able to try to give them options, but we also need to make sure that they're safe, and them becoming dehydrated, not eating, not drinking, not using a cane or walker because yeah. they're weak right now. All of those are safety risks. So those are some things we have to kind of put our foot down and say, look, mom, you're going to have to use the cane right. because I don't want you to fall. And I really don't want to end up in the ER with you. And I know you don't yes. as well. So these are for your safety, safety precautions in order to use the cane or to use a walker.
And if they won't, what we have found is that, you know, often you just have to physically be there when it's time for them to walk. Okay, that's right. You're going to have to hold on to my shoulder. You know, sometimes we have to be a little creative just because the stubbornness of the patient, and especially if that is your parent suffering through cancer and you're trying to care. You're right. A lot of times that power shift is very
That's
difficult.
Right. Right.
So thank you for those tips. At AARP for National Caregivers Month, which is what this month is, their entire issue of their magazine, the AARP Bulletin, is focusing on caregiving. And we have with us here Hillary Thomas from AARP Georgia. Hillary, this is a big month in all that you do at AARP. Share with us a little bit about what you are doing as focused for National Caregivers Month.
Well, in National Caregivers Month, we really try to double down and make sure that people are aware of all the different free resources we have that have nothing to do with membership. They don't have anything to do with your age. You don't have to, you know, have any involvement other than we just want you to understand that we have these resources for you. One resource that we have is our program, Prepare to Care. And Prepare to Care is a really good program. It works in two different ways. It's preparing you to be cared for, because all of us are going to either be cared for or care for somebody
True.
In our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And it also helps caregivers care for their loved one. And there's several steps in the program, and there are several steps that we ask people to go through. And some of the things that Michelle was talking about with the things with caregivers, what they're going through and how to deal with people and how to talk to people and when to push and when not to push.
Right.
All of those things can be determined in some things that go through some of our steps. The first step is starting a conversation. So let's say that you have received this cancer diagnosis.
Right.
Somebody is going to have to help you through this.
Yes.
So you're going to have that conversation with someone. So if it's your parent that has gotten this diagnosis, mm-hmm. you as the child are going to have to sit down and say, okay, mom, What do we want to do? What do you want your care to look like? Because it can't be what I think is best for you. It's what you want to have.
That is empowering.
So you've got to have that conversation. Yes. And then form your caregiving team. Because like we all know, caregivers get really overburdened.
They do.
And they start to get stressed out.
Yes.
And things happen. But you have to have a caregiving team. Who is going to sit on that team? Where are the people going to come from? Are they mm-hmm. friends? Are they neighbors? Are they sorority sisters?
Yes.
Form your team of people around you and make a plan. So if you're preparing meals or whatever else, maybe you don't like the way your daughter cooks. You want somebody else to cook. Mm-hmm. Or you want a meal mm-hmm. delivery service or any of those things. But make your caregiving plan
yes.
so that you know what to do, as well as finding support. So if it's for paid services, if it's free services, if you're going to depend on some of the AAAs and some of the senior center services, find your support so
yes.
that you can figure out how to actually make this plan for people and make it work. And lastly, we always suggest that caregivers take care of themselves.
Oh, you hit on something there, Hillary Thomas.
We focus on within our Prepare to Care workshop, and we really push that, especially during National Caregivers Month, but we do this every month all year long. But it's just making sure that the full caregiving needs are met, because a lot of times when people just hop in, you know, they're thinking about those minute day-to-day, how is mom going to eat, how are we going to get to the appointments, how are we going to make sure that the chemo is regulated, and all those different things. But at the beginning, since cancer is one of those things that, you know, you go to the doctor, you get a cancer diagnosis. Mm-hmm. If you come back, you know, let it sink in for a day, and you sit there and you make your plan, you're able to plan, versus having a different type of catastrophic event, having a car wreck or something where you're not able to plan in advance. Mm-hmm. But with cancer, you can make a plan and just sit down and say, this is what we need to have happen. This is what I'd like for my care to look like. And kind of write out the different scenarios depending on what happens. Maybe you don't need someone with you all the time.
Right.
Maybe you just want somebody to be there in the evening. Or maybe you just need somebody to come on Wednesdays when you go for your treatment.
Right. Exactly. But that's the empowering part. 404-880-9255. Are you a caregiver for someone who has cancer? Have you been through this with your friend, with your family member, with your spouse? We want you to join the conversation. We're talking about caregivers and caregiving. What do we do to take care of each other when cancer shows up in our lives? It's National Caregivers Month. And this is an important question. You raise an issue about the burnout factor. As, you know, folks who, when you get a cancer diagnosis, you feel a bit out of control. You feel something has happened to you. And I love, Hillary Thomas, that you're saying make a plan, because that instantly makes you shift your thinking into knowing that you have some level of control and say, as you were mentioning, Michelle, in how your treatment is going to go, you are still involved. A lot of caregivers do neglect themselves. This is just a fact, because you jump in, you're full of great intention, you want to be there for someone, and you figure you can take care of yourself later. And it kind of never happens. What are some of the signs as caregivers? And if you're a caregiver, we want to hear from you now at 404-880-9255. How do we know? How do we recognize when we are burnt out and we need to get some other folks on the plan with us? What are some of the signs?
I know one thing that I've seen in my own personal life. My father had a stroke. It wasn't cancer. But we kept trying to encourage my mother and give her the support. But I lived out of the state. My sister had her own health challenges. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I would come home on the weekends and I would just see that she was so frustrated and she would yell. And I would see that she was treating my father like a child sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you're going to do it because this is what I say. And I kept saying, you've got to get some help. I don't live here. I can help as much as I can from a distance. But I could see those signs where she was starting to fray. And then she eventually started listening and allowing friends to help.
Uh-huh.
One thing that people always say, well, I don't have anybody for my team. Fortunately, many of us have networks. We have churches. We have sorority sisters. We have neighbors. So a good many of us do have people who have said, what is it that you need? I'd be willing to help you. Let me know what you need. But we have to, in return, as caregivers, be able to say, I do need your help.
Yes.
Can you come and sit with me? And when I saw that change happen, my mother went from being frazzled and stressed and she couldn't do it anymore. She needed some help, to finally taking the help from my father's friends, who now take him out every single Wednesday. And she enjoys Wednesday. I talked to her this morning and she was so excited. He was out all day. His friends took him out. So she had a day. She said, I get to sit in the house and fold laundry. I said, well, that's what makes you happy?
That's right.
But it took her that time to listen, to accept the help. But it also took us seeing that she was frazzled and stressed and yelling. And she just couldn't do it anymore.
And that irritability is a sign. It's National Caregivers Month. If you are a caregiver, or you are someone who has had care while you worked through your cancer treatment and now you're a survivor, tell us about what you see, what you know, what your experience is, and ask your questions now at 404-880-9255. We are also on Twitter. You can tweet your questions at CCRTD. Stress is a major part of our lives. There's no denying it. There are all kinds of stress. Michelle, as a registered nurse, tell me a little bit about how you're combating that when you're at Home Helpers, your company, and Direct Link North Atlanta. How are you helping caregiving and addressing the stress of it?
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we do is we begin to, when we come into a family's home, is to build that trust, mm-hmm. because no one can take care of my loved one like I can. So once we are able to get through that hurdle and help to kind of separate that closeness a little bit, then we're able to give them time to separate, as Hillary said. That's one of the biggest challenges, is that our caregivers feel like no one can do it like I can, or
well, that's
can't
true.
Trust.
Yeah,
that's
well,
right.
It's tough because, you know, you hear about, you know, abuse of all kinds, and you hear these experiences from other people, and, you know, you feel like you're abdicating some responsibility,
right.
too.
That's right.
You feel like, oh, I'm not supposed to
That's right.
have this kind of help.
Right.
You're telling us and validating for us that it is perfectly okay.
It absolutely is. So we first have to build that trust to understand that we're capable of providing care for your loved one, and they're safe in our hands. So once we're able to do that, and then the caregiver is able to step away a little bit, even if it's just going to the store while we're there, it gives them 5 minutes to get away. And so people tend to feel that there is no one out there to help me, so mm-hmm. I do have to handle this all on my own. I'm not sleeping. I'm not eating. I'm not taking my medication. I'm not going to the doctors.
Oh, yes.
And so the stress builds up, and it turns from mental into physical. And so often we see our caregivers passing before their loved ones that do, because they've just taken care of that one person so much that they've forgotten to take care of themselves.
Really?
So
that's a trend you are seeing?
So that is a trend that we see. Yes,
really?
Absolutely.
Caregivers in this community, if you are listening and you're a caregiver, we want to hear from you, your experience, your questions now at 404-880-9255, or tweet your question at CCRTD. So that is something, you know, you don't think about. You never think, when you're caring for someone else as a caregiver, that you could honestly end up putting yourself in jeopardy to the point where you pass. And you're, you know, not even prepared for this. Your family's not prepared
That's
for this.
Right. Or you have a sudden insult, a stroke, a heart attack
sure.
that came on because of the amount of stress that has been caused from you caring for that person. So even if it's the small things, allow others to help. We feel like we don't have any help, but mm-hmm. someone has said, can I go to the grocery store for you? Can I pick up the medications for you? Can I help do your
yeah.
laundry? Let me just take the laundry home and I'll bring it back. Mm-hmm. We say, no, I have it. That's not much.
Now, that's true, Michelle.
Yes.
That's almost an instinctual answer. Hillary, it's true. You know, we feel that we must do that. You have to accept help. When help is extended, that sounds like the number one piece of advice you both are giving.
Right.
As caregivers, if you have offers of help, and if not, speak up and ask.
That's right.
Because people will step up, and sometimes they're just not aware that you need the help. And you have to be able to say, I need help.
And so often we have people that we find that no one in the community even knows they're taking care of a parent
mm-hmm.
or they're taking care of a spouse that they're
mm-hmm.
ill. Give you an example. I've been at church with someone for, I don't know, maybe over a year, working in a nursery together. And I find out she's taking care of her husband for years. Never
really?
Knew that. She never mentioned it. She never felt like, you know, she never appeared to be stressed, but it was there. And
right.
so we have to share that information. We have to reach out and let people know what our needs are so we can fill them. And more often than not, someone is there to fill them. If there's a family member, a friend, a church member, as Hillary said, so many people in the community want to help one another. Even if it's for 1 or 2 hours a day, it will make a difference.
It will make a major difference. If you are a caregiver, it is National Caregivers Month, and we are focused on that here. And we'd love to hear your questions, your experience at 404-880-9255. Hillary, AARP in Georgia.
We were just talking about caregivers and not really telling people that you're in need of help. One thing that we're seeing a lot with the sandwich generation, where I fit in, people aren't letting their employers know what's going on.
So let's first get everybody on the same page. What is the sandwich
generation? So the sandwich generation, you're caring for an older loved one or just a loved one, and you're caring for your own family. And when I was fitting in, it was, okay, I've got to figure out how to get my child, because I don't want to take my child to the hospital, but I also mm-hmm. want to help with my dad. How do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that time, my child was 2.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do with this 2-year-old, and you're trying to get to the rehab hospital, and can he run around and do
right.
all these things?
Right.
So you're caring for 2 different
That's
groups
right.
of people with 2 different needs. But with the sandwich, so that's the sandwich generation.
Uh-huh.
And what's going on is people aren't even letting their employers know that they have the situation. So on
because
the
we're back to handling it, you see. This is when we don't say anything because we're handling it. And we don't want anyone, especially our employer, to think that we are not able to do our job because of these personal matters. Exactly. You're suggesting that we let them know.
Let your employer know, because on the employer end, they just see that you've taken off 10 days. They don't know why you've taken off 10 days. They just said, you know what, you have taken off 10 days. And at this point in time, it's become a performance problem. Versus if on the front end, you let your employer know, this is what I have going on.
Yes.
This has become a problem in my home. And you can move forward from that. So I look at it at two different stages in my life. My sister has had health challenges for a long time. And when I first started working out of college, I was taking off a lot of time to take her to the doctor and do all these things. Mm-hmm. But I never let anybody know. Because I can handle it.
Right.
I don't need to do
right.
that. I have this day off, so I can take off if I want. Versus letting someone know and being able to have that in a positive situation. So I've gotten older. You know, I've gotten to the point I do caregiving work, so I know that I need to let someone know. I let my employer know I have these caregiving challenges. These are things that I'm going to have to do.
That's right.
So they know that, and they don't just look at it as you're taking all these vacation days or you're just taking all this time off. You're helping a loved one.
Right. And it's so important. If you're helping a loved one right now as a caregiver and your loved one is suffering through cancer, or if you have survived and you can now speak of your experience with your caregivers, call us right now, please. We want to hear from you at 404-880-9255. 404-880-9255. So important to speak up and not let things progress to a point where it is a danger for both the person you're caring for and yourself as a caregiver. AARP here in Georgia. Hillary, what other options are you offering this month in particular to help?
Well, one of our biggest one we just did yesterday, we had a screening of a new documentary entitled Care. It was amazing. We did it at Phipps. And it just gave caregivers a time to see themselves depicted on screen. And it went through different situations, both from the perspective of the paid caregiver as well as the family caregiver. So when you're looking at paid caregivers, looking at caregivers who are not being paid a wage, a good living wage for them to be able to survive.
Yes.
But as you said, we're bringing them into our homes and we're entrusting you with our loved ones, but we're not paying you the wage that you should be paid. As well as the documentary went through what it takes for a family to pay for a caregiver. That one of the families, they were going bankrupt just trying to keep their loved one with the care that they needed. They just couldn't afford it any longer. They had retirement. They have life insurance and all those things. But the another thing that I go over with my workshops is a lot of times people, when they're thinking about the end of their life, they're worried about what happens if my loved one dies. Do they have life insurance if they die? What happens if they die? My question to you is, what happens if they survive?
What happens
if they have a stroke?
Right.
And you now have to give care to this person. Can you afford to quit your job? Do you have the finances set up to where you can give care to this person? What happens if this person survives? Do you have those processes put in place? Have you gotten those different types of insurance policies for long-term care? What happens?
It's important for us to think of these things. If you are dealing with caregiving in your family for someone who is working their way through their cancer treatment, if you are a survivor who wants to talk about your caregiving team that got you through, we want to hear from you now with your questions and your experience at 404-880-9255 or tweet us your question at CCRTD. This announcement, in the interest of public health, is made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. It's a medical breakthrough. Doctors are prescribing something new to help prevent prostate cancer and improve survival rates. But you don't get it filled at the pharmacy. The answer is as close as your local supermarket. Research shows that a diet rich in fruits, vegetables, beans, whole grains, and other high-fiber foods can protect against prostate cancer and even help survival rates. Side effects include increased energy, lower cholesterol levels, and better overall health. More information is available at ccrtd.cau.edu.